Hey, everybody, welcome back. We're jumping into something pretty intense today. We're going to take a deep dive into the book of Ezekiel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've got a lecture here by Dr. Elaine Phillips that's going to guide us as we go. But Ezekiel is not your average prophet. No, he's not. Yeah, no, he's really not. Get ready for some crazy imagery, strange actions he does, and a message about responsibility that I think will hit really close to home for a lot of us.
Yeah, and that's what makes Ezekiel so fascinating. I mean, he was giving these prophecies during the Babylonian exile, which, if you can imagine, you know, a time of just intense upheaval and despair for the Israelites. I mean, their homeland's gone, their temple's destroyed.
Right.
They're really shaken to their core. Their faith is shaken to the core.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine going through something like that.
It really is.
And right in the middle of all this chaos, Ezekiel's called to be a watchman. Dr. Phillips really dives deep into this concept. And it's not just about observing. It's about actively warning people about the consequences of their actions.
Right.
He's given a huge responsibility, especially during such a hard time for everybody.
Right. And, you know, the lecture points out how God keeps calling Ezekiel son of man. It's a sign of respect, but it's also like God is firmly nudging him.
Oh, yeah.
To pay attention and to remember that you can't just sit back and watch everything unfold.
Right.
Even when everything's chaotic, we have a responsibility to look out for each other.
It really makes you wonder, what does that responsibility look like for us now? I mean, especially because Dr. Phillips emphasizes this idea of corporate responsibility. It's like, we're not just individuals, we're part of a community. And the things we choose affect other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easy to point fingers and say, well, that's their problem, not mine.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But Ezekiel's challenging us to think differently. He's asking, are we really willing to speak up even when it's not comfortable, when it's against injustice, or when people will tell us, don't judge?
Oh, yeah. You know people are going to throw that don't judge line at you all the time.
Yeah.
But Dr. Phillips had a great response to that. She suggests gently reminding them that, well, ultimately, in the end, we all face a higher judge.
Right.
It kind of flips the script, doesn't it? It makes you think twice about just trying to avoid responsibility.
It really does. And, you know, Ezekiel didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. And sometimes literally.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, he acted out these vivid scenes to get his message across. It's almost like he was doing performance art. He ate a scroll, built a mini Jerusalem. He even cut off his own beard. That's commitment.
I mean, could you imagine doing any of that? He really went all in. But it wasn't just for show, right?
Right.
Dr. Phillips explains how those actions were chosen very carefully to symbolize God's judgment, but also God's promise of restoration.
Exactly. Like, for example, take the scroll. It represents ingesting God's word, letting it become part of you. So Ezekiel literally embodies that idea, or the model of Jerusalem that's under siege, right? It's this powerful visual reminder of what their actions have brought upon them.
Yeah, it's amazing how he used everyday things to communicate these profound truths. But let's talk about the imagery that really just blew my mind, those visions of God. We're talking bizarre, almost alien stuff here.
Yeah, the lecture talks about these creatures called cherubim. They've got four faces, wheels within wheels, covered in eyes. They're like nothing you would see anywhere, really. But Dr. Phillips suggests that they were likely inspired by similar figures in other ancient cultures.
Oh, really?
Yeah, guarding throne rooms. But here, they're guarding God's throne.
That connection to other cultures is so interesting.
Isn't it?
Because it shows how these strange images were actually rooted in Ezekiel's world. And it makes you think, if those creatures were inspired by other deities, is that why the Israelites ended up worshiping the golden calf? Like, maybe they saw these powerful cherubim and thought, we need to make one of those. But they thought it was a calf. Dr. Phillips proposes that maybe they misunderstood and tried to recreate them as a calf-like deity.
That's a really interesting theory. It adds another layer to their idolatry, a misunderstanding of who God really is. And what's even more striking is how these cherubims, along with the glory of God, actually leave the temple. It's like God is turning away from his people, abandoning them because they haven't been faithful.
It's a punch in the gut. You really feel the weight of their actions. But even in his anger, there's this moment when it seems like God hesitates, almost like he's grieving as he departs. It shows that this isn't just punishment. It's a broken relationship with real emotion behind it.
It does remind us that God isn't some distant being who doesn't feel. He's deeply invested in his people, so their actions affect him. And this sets up this powerful contrast in Ezekiel's visions. On one hand, you've got these dry bones scattered around, lifeless, symbolizing the spiritual state of Israel. But then you've got Ezekiel, the priest, interacting with these bones, prophesying life back into them.
Right, the Valley of Dry Bones.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful image of resurrection and a home for the Israelites. And Dr. Fuller's pointed out something I never realized. As a priest, Ezekiel would have been ritually unclean if he touched those bones.
Oh, wow.
But he does it anyway, showing how dedicated he was to delivering this message from God. It makes you wonder, how far are we willing to go to be obedient, even if it means getting our hands dirty, so to speak?
That's a really good question. And speaking of thought-provoking stuff, the lecture also mentions this prophecy about Gog and Magog. It's this epic battle that seems to echo battles in Revelation. It makes you wonder, what's the connection between these events here on Earth and this larger cosmic struggle?
Yeah, it's like Ezekiel is giving us a glimpse behind the curtain of reality, showing us this bigger story that's playing out. But then he throws us a curveball with this vision of a new temple complete with sacrifices. Wait, weren't sacrifices supposed to be obsolete after Jesus?
Yeah, that's where things get a little complicated. The book of Hebrews seems to suggest that, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on here? Dr. Phillips suggests that maybe this temple with the sacrifices, it's a symbolic representation of God's restored presence. Remember, Ezekiel was a priest, so he understood things through that lens.
So it's not about literal animal sacrifices anymore, but about a deeper spiritual reality, a renewed relationship with God. It's like he's using the language of the Old Testament to point to this new way of understanding God's presence.
Exactly. And it reminds us that we need to look past the literal meaning sometimes to understand the deeper truths. But let's not forget those symbolic actions we were talking about. They're not just random events.
Right.
Each one has a specific meaning connected to the themes of judgment and restoration.
Yes, like each action is a piece of a divine puzzle. And when you put them all together, you start to see this bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are these allegorical stories sprinkled throughout the book, like comparing Jerusalem to a woman of ill repute and Israel and Judah to two adulterous sisters. It's intense stuff.
And, you know, these allegories add another layer to Ezekiel's message. They make the point about the nation's spiritual unfaithfulness, that their actions have consequences.
Yeah.
But one of the most chilling stories is the one about the Prince of Tyre.
Okay, yeah, that one gave me goosebumps. Tell me more about this prince.
So he's described in these grand, you know, majestic terms, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, even like a guardian cherub.
Wow.
But he's totally consumed by pride, and that leads to his downfall. It's almost like a foreshadowing of Satan's fall, like we see in Isaiah and Revelation.
Whoa, so this historical king, but his story also represents this larger cosmic battle between good and evil. It's like we're getting a peek into the spiritual world, and it's not always pretty.
And that's what makes it so chilling, the idea that these earthly events have spiritual echoes. It just adds this whole other layer of depth to the story. But even with all this darkness and judgment, Ezekiel offers this glimmer of hope, the promise of renewal, a new beginning.
Yes, let's end on a positive note. What does Ezekiel have to say about restoration?
He talks about God gathering his people back from exile, cleansing them with water. You know, remember the theme of water and spirit?
Yeah.
Giving them new hearts and putting his spirit within them. It's a beautiful image of transformation, a fresh start.
Yeah, it's a reminder that even when things seem totally hopeless, there's always a chance for renewal and change. And it connects with similar promises in other prophets like Hosea and Jeremiah. God's love and faithfulness shines through even in judgment.
It's a message that speaks across cultures and across time. No matter what we've done, God is always there ready to give us a new beginning.
We've covered so much ground just in this first part.
I know.
From these bizarre cherubim to symbolic actions. Ezekiel's message is this mix of judgment, hope, and a call to take responsibility for our actions. We'll be back soon to dive even deeper into this incredible book, so stay tuned. Welcome back to our deep dives into Ezekiel. I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around those wild images and actions. It's incredible how Ezekiel communicated such a complex and, you know, unsettling message.
It is. And, you know, it wasn't just the words, but how he used those dramatic actions to really embody the message. Like, if you won't listen to my words, watch what I do.
Like he was putting on a play.
Right. Exactly.
Trying to show them, not just tell them.
Yeah.
Dr. Phillips pointed out how Ezekiel's actions often mirrored what the Israelites were doing. It forced them to see what their choices led to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, remember when he had to pack his bags and dig through the wall, pretending to go into exile? It was a really powerful image of what the Israelites were experiencing. Like, this is what happens when you turn away from God.
It's like he was holding up a mirror to them, making them see the reality. And then the part where he's not allowed to mourn his wife's death. It's so sad. It really emphasizes that feeling of loss and grief from when God left the temple.
It's a powerful parallel. Ezekiel's own grief symbolizes the nation's spiritual state. But even with all this, we see these little bits of hope and restoration.
Right. We talk about the Valley of Dry Bones and how they come back to life, symbolizing Israel's resurrection. But Dr. Phillips talked about water being this recurring theme in Ezekiel's prophecies. What do you think about that?
Well, she mentioned the connection between water and the Spirit, especially in chapter 36, where God says he'll sprinkle clean water on the people. It's this beautiful image of cleansing and renewal, washing away their impurities so they can start fresh.
So it's not just physically cleaning, but spiritual transformation, washing away their sins and renewing their connection with God. And that fits so well with the vision of the river flowing from the new temple, bringing life wherever it goes.
That river image is so powerful. And it's similar to the river in the New Jerusalem in Revelation. It connects what Ezekiel's saying to this bigger vision of God's plan. It reminds us that God's working to restore everything, not just one nation or one time period.
It's amazing how all these different threads come together. Makes you want to keep digging deeper to see how everything fits. But I think it's important to acknowledge that figuring out what Ezekiel's prophecies mean, especially with the New Testament, can be tough. We talked about the temple and all the sacrifices and how Hebrews suggests those aren't necessary after Jesus. What are your thoughts?
It's a good question. Scholars have been trying to figure that out forever. Dr. Phillips says maybe the temple and those elaborate rituals are symbolic of God being present again, but understood in light of Ezekiel's background as a priest. You know, sacrifices were huge for them, so he'd use that to explain spiritual truths.
So it's not about literally sacrificing animals, but about a deeper change, about turning back to God. And it shows how important it is to understand the history and culture when interpreting scripture.
Absolutely. We can't just look at these ancient texts with our modern understanding. We have to try to see them through the eyes of the people who first heard them. But let's be honest, some of Ezekiel's prophecies are just strange. Like, what's the deal with that whole Prince of Tyre thing? What do you think he was getting at?
Okay, that one was really creepy. On the surface, it seems like he's just condemning this prideful king. But Dr. Phillips pointed out some interesting stuff that suggests there's something deeper going on.
Yeah, you're right. She focused on the language describing him. Full of wisdom, perfect beauty, a guardian cherub. That reminds me of how Satan is described both in Isaiah and Revelation. It's almost like Ezekiel is giving us a sneak peek into this unseen world, the origins of evil.
Whoa. So we have this historical person, but the story also has this spiritual meaning. It's like watching Satan fall, but on a human level.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, right? Are things happening on earth just reflections of a bigger spiritual battle? Is there a link between some prideful king and the fall of a powerful being like Satan?
It's like peeling an onion. The more you look, the more you realize there's more to discover. It makes me wonder, if Ezekiel were alive today, what would he say about the world? What crazy things would he do to get our attention?
That is a thought-provoking question. Maybe he'd stage a huge protest outside some big corporation denouncing their greed and exploitation. Or just stand silently in a crowded city square holding a mirror up to everyone walking by, making them face their part in all the injustice.
Ooh, those are strong images. It really emphasizes that Ezekiel's message isn't just some old history lesson. It's a timeless call to action. He wants us to look at ourselves and take responsibility for our communities and the world.
Absolutely. And as we keep looking at Ezekiel's prophecies, we'll see that this call to action comes from a deep understanding of God, his justice, his mercy, and his desire to make things right.
It's easy to focus on the weird images and cryptic stuff, but in the end, Ezekiel's message is simple and powerful. We're called to be watchmen, to speak up against wrong, to fight for justice, and to trust God to make all things new.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And that message is just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago. But before we finish up our deep dive into Ezekiel, we need to look at one more thing. How his prophecies fit into the whole Old Testament story.
Ooh, yes. Dr. Phillips talked about some interesting parallels between Ezekiel's message and the themes in other prophetic books.
Yeah.
What stood out to you?
Yeah, she pointed out how similar Ezekiel's promise of a new heart and a new spirit is to what prophets like Hosea and Jeremiah were saying. It's like they're all on the same page.
Exactly. Hosea, for example, talks about how much God loves his people, even when they stray. It's a good reminder that God doesn't love us based on how we behave.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us even when we mess up.
It's something we all need to hear sometimes, especially when we feel like we've really blown it. And then there's Jeremiah, who really stresses how important that interchange is.
Yeah.
He talks about God actually writing his law on people's hearts. So it's not about following rules because we're afraid.
It's about changing from the inside, wanting to live the way God wants us to. That's what Ezekiel means by a new heart, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's about changing because we want to, not because someone's forcing us. It's really interesting to see how these prophets, each with their own style and coming from different situations, all add to this bigger picture of God's revelation. They're showing us God's character and his plan for humanity.
It's like this grand symphony, each prophet playing a different instrument, but they all come together to make this beautiful sound.
Mm.
And Ezekiel's role is so interesting. He's like this bridge between when Jerusalem was destroyed and the promise that things will be restored. He offers hope and talks about renewal for those in exile. But you know what really got me about Ezekiel is that he doesn't shy away from the social problems within the Israelite community. He calls them out for being hypocrites, for being greedy, for taking advantage of those who are weaker. It's like he's saying you can't just go through the motions of religious stuff while ignoring all the suffering around you.
And that's what makes Ezekiel so relevant even today. We're still struggling with things like inequality and injustice. Ezekiel reminds us that real faith isn't just about being personally good, but working to make things fair and create a better society for everyone.
It makes you think about what you're doing, right? What are we actually doing to fix the injustices around us? Are we speaking up for those who are being treated unfairly? It's easy to get wrapped up in our own lives and just ignore it all. But Ezekiel's pushing us to be more aware, to care more, and to really do something about it.
He is. And in the middle of all those tough things he says, he still gives us this vision of hope. He promises a new covenant, a changed heart, and a community filled with God's Spirit living together peacefully. This idea of a new covenant, a fresh start with God, it comes up a lot in the Old Testament, and then we see it fully realized in Jesus. How do you think Ezekiel contributes to that story?
Well, he talks about God writing his law in people's hearts, making a connection that's deeper than just following rules. And you're right, that promise comes true with Jesus, who starts a new covenant with his sacrifice.
It's amazing how it all comes together over so many years. And Ezekiel's vision of restoration isn't just about changing individuals. It's about renewing creation, making a world where justice and righteousness rule. It's not just about people getting right with God. It's about fixing the whole world.
Right. He talks about a time when the desert will bloom, barren land will be fruitful, and there will be peace among everything. It's an amazing glimpse of God's plan, something that makes us hopeful and motivates us to work towards that future. It reminds us that God isn't just saving people, but restoring everything.
And that's where I think Ezekiel's message really connects with us now. We see so many problems. Climate change, political chaos, social unrest. It's easy to get overwhelmed and lose hope. But Ezekiel reminds us that God is still working, that he hasn't given up.
So we've gone through a lot in our deep dive into Ezekiel. We've seen the strange, the sad, the hopeful, and the challenging. What stands out to you?
For me, it's that message of God's constant love for his people, how he's committed to justice and has promised to make things right, both for each of us and for the whole world. It speaks to what we all want deep down, to have meaning, a purpose, and to be connected to something bigger than ourselves.
Absolutely. It's been quite a journey exploring Ezekiel, and I've definitely got a lot to think about. I feel like I've learned a lot, not just about Ezekiel in that time period, but about myself and my place in this world. It's tough to be a watchman, to speak out against what's wrong and work for change, but it's also incredibly inspiring.
It is. And as we finish this deep dive, I want to encourage you, our listener, to keep exploring Ezekiel. Really pay attention to the images, the symbolism, how it connects to other parts of the Bible, what parts speak to you, what challenges you, what gives you hope. Don't just read the words, really think about them, ask questions, let those ideas challenge you, let them touch your heart.
That's so important. It's not just about knowing stuff, it's about letting it change us, shape us, and make us act.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe you'll discover something new that we didn't even talk about.
I love that. There's always more to discover, more to learn, and more to think about. So until next time, stay curious and keep those hearts open. We'll be back soon with more deep dives into all sorts of fascinating topics.
Happy exploring.